My name is Jason Daiba, and you're listening to the Passion Podcast, where I get to talk to artists, speakers, and culture makers who have focused their lives on the fame of Jesus. Today, I'm talking to Jeff Lawson, who's the music director for Passion City Church. And in this episode, we're going to do something a little different. Jeff is going to share a little bit about the creative and collaborative culture at Passion, but first he's going to walk us through how he reimagined the song, Glorious Day.
Yeah, so obviously, as you can hear, this song hits in a totally different way than the original does.
Yeah, totally different.
You know, there's no band vibe around it. There's no, you know, real drums. There's really no guitar at this point.
I mean, the original Glorious Day feels like it's rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know, it's totally. It's guitars. It's, I don't even know if there is a piano somewhere in there. It's
somewhere
buried
in
somewhere
there.
In the mix.
Right.
And then this piece, there's sounds I'm hearing that I can't categorize. Some of them sound like small animals being shaken in the background, like squeals and weird yelps of
right.
all kinds, and these really punchy synths.
Yeah, and so really the part of this that became the most crucial piece to kind of hold on to as it developed and as the remix itself kind of progressed to where you would hear it now, as you hear that hook section is there. It's
yeah.
the same little piece. So what you've got going on in this section is really just, you know, there's a beat going on, but really the main piece of it that I would call the hook of the song is this little vocal sample hook. Maybe what you're saying sounds a bit almost like animal noises or whatever you know, if you will. This is a pretty common thing nowadays as far as, you know, I guess music production goes is
okay.
to sample a vocal. And so what I mean by that is I actually took little pieces of Christian Stanfill's live vocal stem. So that's his vocal by itself.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to listen to basically just his microphone from the Glorious Day recording.
You were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing.
Okay.
So that there is, you know, obviously that's the bridge of the song. What I did is I took that and spliced it up into tiny little segments so that if I played them on a keyboard, it would sound like this.
You were my healing.
So okay. tiny little segments. And so what I did is after I did that is I kind of went through and quite literally just started playing around the little pieces to try and find vowel shapes and things from the spliced up sections of that to try and see if there was maybe a little something in there that I could find that almost turned into a melody of its own.
So you're literally playing a keyboard of his voice.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
That's interesting.
And then you can pitch it up an octave, and all of a sudden the timbre of the vocal changes. It's in a different register. Throw a little chorus on it. Throw some extra reverb on it, and then sidechain it to the beat, and all of a sudden you've got something that just is fun and pops.
Yeah.
And it's got a catchy little melody to it, and all of a sudden I landed on that, and I was like, I'm going to run with it.
Even knowing that was originally his vocal... When you get to that point, I've already detached a little bit. It's
yeah.
like in its own category again.
Right, right. And so I knew that I wanted those hook sections to hit in certain spots, you know, typically out of the chorus. But, you know, really from the get-go, starting off the song, I knew I wanted it to start a totally different way as well. And I think really the reference for it came from, there's a Lainey song that I remembered had where almost like there are chord stabs with really long trailing delay. And I thought, okay, this would be cool. Let's start with this. And it's really the delay itself is just kind of carrying the whole thing. You've also got this little bit of, I wanted a little bit more of a sense of tempo going on in the background. So another thing that I did as far as Christian Stanfill's vocals, I actually sampled a breath of his vocal.
Okay.
And you'll hear this throughout the song kind of coming in and out to create a little bit of more of a sense of rhythmic tempo. And it sounds like this. It's kind of what you hear at the very beginning of the song. It actually bookends the song. It filters out at the very end. But even through the verse, you've got this, it's a breath of his that's actually has almost like a ticking little bit of a sound to it. It gives you a sense of where the beat is. And so that's going on underneath really the whole first verse, you know, all the way from verse one to the chorus. And you've got that kind of creating a sense of tempo. You've got these delayed chord stabs that are kind of, and so from the get-go, it's like there's new progression, there's new sounds, there's new things going on.
Okay.
So that's kind of like the approach to the beginning of the song that I wanted to take. And then, of course, you know, no remix would be complete without just throwing in a good old four on the floor. So you right at the beginning of kind of the second verse, you've got a little bit of piano going on to help reestablish the same chord progression going on. Sidechain, just for a little bit of fun. You've got that kind of thing.
Well, this phrase, sidechain, what generally does that mean?
Yeah, so basically what that means is that it pulses with the beat. So it has to do with compression and I'll spare the details, but basically it pulses with the beat. So you'll hear that it's not just piano playing, it's piano that's got a pulse on the downbeat where the kick drum would hit. So you've got this kick drum going on. So the piano is actually ducking out of the way every time that the kick drum hits. And then you throw in some snaps and all of a sudden you've got a completely different song. Now, it kind of turns this corner when you get to the chorus. The beat drops out and all of a sudden you've got these massive pulsing synths that kind of still are re-emphasizing really a similar, slightly different chord progression, really. And you've got this stuff that creates all of this like low energy, because again, in my head, I'm thinking we're building towards this drop section. So I've got to somehow get from this four on the floor section to this massive in-your-face aggressive thing. And I wanted to use the chorus as the way to get there. So you start throwing in these big pulsing chords underneath it just to help it build and build. And it opens up from a filter standpoint. Throw in a little crazy chord in there, a major three all of a sudden. And then what you've got left is just a couple bars before you get to the chorus and you throw in a riser. And all of a sudden you've got this sound that's coming in that's just creating all of this tension, building up to what is going to be hopefully the most epic drop of what you've ever heard. And so you've got these sounds that are kind of crazy rising sounds. You've got a little bit of like a droplet sound in there building, rising in pitch. And then you hit.
When we come back, Jeff Lawson brings in the marching band drumline, and I proceed to question why he's doing any of this at all. This is the Passion Podcast. Stay with us.
If you're enjoying this behind-the-scenes look at Passion Music, then make sure to check out Lift, a two-day gathering of creatives, musicians, worship leaders, production teams, filmmakers, pastors, and more. You and your team will be refreshed by the times of worship and teaching and empowered through a variety of creative and technical breakouts. Lift is hosted by Louis Giglio, Christian Stanfield, and the entire Passion team. And all the details can be found at 268generation.com.
Before we get back into the song, can I ask maybe a more philosophical question about this process, which is, does the church really need remixes? I mean, why do a remix at all?
Mm-hmm. There's kind of a beauty to the whole process of allowing, being a little open-handed with the things that we do and that we create. You know, even for example, within just the context of this remix, you know, there were ideas for this that it would have been, I think, really easy for me to want to, even though this, it's not even like it's my song to begin with, you know, like I didn't write this song. Mm-hmm. Like I had no part in the original creation of this song, but I think it would be easy for me to want to hold on to this or in the process to have not wanted to accept or allow any outside influence or variations, to just kind of let it be my thing.
Yeah.
There's kind of a beauty in allowing the process of the church as a creative body of people to come together and help take things in this weird, kind of impossible to understand process where all of a sudden new things can develop from other things and kind of being open-handed with allowing that to happen.
Yeah.
And not being so tightly wound around our own ideas of what we want either a song to be or where the overall musical vision for the, you know, the future of what we want our worship music to sound like, kind of allowing it to be that weird mixture, melting pot of everybody's souls creatively pouring into something together.
Yeah.
Taking the approach of reapproaching those songs and rearranging them and kind of wanting to go in the direction of something that's creatively new and creatively different is really kind of like a beautiful thing and a fun way to help express some of what God has gifted each one of us to kind of, you know, mix back into the church and kind of take something that's been and make something new out of it. I think even in general, I think God is very much in the business of taking things that have been and creating entirely new creations out of them. And so I think in that sense, you know, doing something like a remix, I think totally has a place in the church where it's like, yeah, you know, we have this version of it, but let's blow it up and make something completely different and beautiful out of it. And I think that's really what God intends for us as people. I think a lot of times as we go through, you know, phases of life, we think that as ourselves, we're changing into something, but it's almost like God's creating an entirely new self altogether. Mm. And so I think with everything, even creatively in the church, I think that process is really kind of a beautiful thing. I welcome it.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more about the remix.
You've also got some fun other things that I've, you know, you play with the vocal a little bit. So I've got a little bit of textures going on from a vocoder standpoint, just to emphasize certain little lyrics. So you can have stuff like that and pitched versions of the vocal that I'm using as background vocals. So that's actually just Christian Stanfill's vocal again, pitched up an octave. So you've got these things that are, again, creating a completely different vibe around some of the original content using the original vocal, but just throwing completely different sounds at it. So on chorus two, really what you've got, this is just the percussion stuff going on, but all of a sudden you've got this different set of sounds that helps keep the song moving forward. But as you'll hear, it's the sound of these snare drums that's actually pushing the song forward, and they get a little more active throughout this whole chorus section. But you hear a little classic marching band snare drum fills, and here's a little rudiment kind of thing going on. And that builds all the way up to, again, the second hook section. And so on this hook section, what we've got is you've actually got some electric guitar doing those same chords, but falling off of the pitch with the whammy pedal. It sounds like this. And there's some fun effects on it to help it kind of fit with the synth stuff going on. He also did some really great kind of classic poppy electric guitar octave things going on the second half of that first drop. Just kind of stuff to help create some rhythmic feel to the whole thing.
That's the first normal thing I've heard in the whole remix.
Exactly.
So far.
That's kind of the first real, I suppose, instrument that was recorded for the sake of this thing. Part of the fun of this song in general is kind of almost teasing at what you think is going to be there. It's kind of fun, even thinking back to the album release night when we first played this song. It was really hilarious to watch people's reactions because everybody expects the chorus to be the section, you know?
Yeah.
So at the album release night, what happens is, you know, going all the way back in the song, you know, we get to the very first chorus, "You call my name," and I ran out of that grave, and people started jumping. Like people start kind of going nuts for all of what accounts to be maybe two beats before they realize, like, wait a second, something's happening here.
Yeah.
And I think if I remember right, we actually had probably like a pretty audible laugh, like a mixture of like laughing and cheering because
disbelief.
It's like, this is it. Like, it didn't happen. Like, what's happening?
Where's
and then
the drums?
People are excited. So, but the same kind of effect is what I was going for on the tail end of this song. So it builds and builds through the bridge again. One last time, you want to get back to the hook one more time. And what I wanted to do was almost tease at it. So like it feels like it's about to hit really hard and then all of a sudden it sucks back out. And then you've got this one more 8-bar build that just makes the whole thing feel like, oh my goodness, where in the world is this thing going to go? It's going to blow up. So this is kind of where that landed. It's almost as if everything sucks out, hits back in, and all of a sudden you've got the risers back in here. This stuff is back. You've got all this craziness going on. You've also got this building snare part behind the whole thing that's just making everything feel like it's going somewhere.
That's the classic EDM.
Yeah, totally. So just this like 16th note snare fill kind of thing. And then right at the very end, we had this really fun idea. It was actually John Duke's idea, but this crazy synth solo comes in at the end out of nowhere. And the best part about this is that it was not in any way a part of the original idea of what I thought we would do with the end of this song. So it's not even really what you're expecting again it's not even what you end up really getting. It's almost like you expect it to just be one more really big hook section, and then all of a sudden this synth solo just blows up in your face in that bar right before the last big hook section.
Yeah.
John Duke is one of the bass players, and he's here with Passion, and he was like, hey, you know, our friend Leonard, who plays keys with Matt Redman, and also has performed with Tori Kelly and is really like freakishly talented kind of guy. He's like, let me see if he'd be willing to just try and throw a solo down on this thing and see what happens. And I'll never forget, we were sitting in his office after he had taken some stabs at solos and sent us about, I don't know, six or seven different takes, different ideas for what the solo could be. And I kid you not, each one of them, by the end of the eight bars of listening to it, I would just be rolling laughing because of how ridiculous and how awesome they were. Every single one of them. I was like, I don't know how we're going to pick between one of these, because every one of them is mind blowing and something that I could never play by any means. But at the same time, it's exactly that element that kind of takes the whole thing to that final extra level. It's like, I had no idea this was coming, but it's exactly what I wanted all along kind of thing. So you get that entrance that just like screams out. It like, it comes out of nowhere. Which, how do you even make sounds like that? And then it drops into this melodic thing that has, it's catchy, it's like, it's rhythmic, and then you tuck it in with everything else. And it's that element that just kind of takes the whole arrangement to some new level at the very end.
In just a moment, you'll hear the fully assembled version of the Glorious Day remix, which is available now on iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, and wherever else you can buy music. If this episode was especially fascinating to you and you want to get more up-close creative training and creative inspiration from the Passion team, then you should check out Lyft. Lyft is an annual gathering specifically designed to encourage and equip musicians, worship leaders, production teams, filmmakers, and other creatives in the church. All the details for Lyft can be found at 268generation.com. Today's episode of the Passion Podcast was produced by myself with engineering by John Duke. If you've got friends who you think would love this episode, then help us out and send them a link to it. Sharing podcasts is so much easier today than it used to be. As always, thanks for listening to the Passion Podcast. And now, here it is, the Glorious Day remix.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met.
sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a